Australia has some of the highest rates of rheumatic fever in the world. It's an immune reaction, usually in childhood, to infections with the Streptococcus bacterium. The result can be seriously damaged heart valves requiring replacement in adulthood and even brain damage. A clinical trial in the Northern Territory may have found a simple and cheap way to improve prevention, and it's by treating skin infections better. Bart Curry is Director of Infectious Diseases and Professor of Medicine at Royal Darwin Hospital. He's also at the Menzies School of Health Research.
The issue is about skin sores, which are predominantly due to streptococcal bacteria, and so therefore you have all the sequelae of streptococcal infection as a result of kids with lots and lots of skin sores. And so what the studies over the last 10 years have shown is that the vast majority of children in remote indigenous communities have had one or more episodes of impetigo or skin sores within the first year of life. So by 12 months, the majority have had at least one episode, and the average is around three episodes of skin sores. And behind all of that is also a very high rate of scabies, which antecedes quite often the skin sores.
So that's where this mite burrows under the skin, causing scratching, and then scratches become infected, and so it goes on.
Yes.
And the Northern Territory has some of the highest rates of rheumatic fever in some communities in the world. And this is one of the causes, if not the principal cause, of rheumatic fever, which then damages the heart valves and causes all sorts of problems later in life for these kids.
Well, I think that it's well known that rheumatic fever is a result of infection with Streptococcus pyogenes. The historical teaching was that this is always a throat infection leading to rheumatic fever. The paradox in the Northern Territory is that the rates of streptococcal infection of the throat is actually quite low, but there are very large rates of infection of the skin, in other words, in the skin sores. How the link is made between the streptococci and the skin sores and subsequent rheumatic fever is something that is still being looked at, because it's not sure whether the streptococci have to still passage through the throat or whether there's a direct result of rheumatic fever from purely just skin streptococcal infection.
Tell me about this study that you did.
What this study was a randomised controlled comparison of our gold standard therapy for skin sores up to date, which is with an injection of long-acting penicillin. That's called benzathine penicillin.
Which is pretty painful and kids don't like.
It can be painful. There are different ways of giving the injection, and some of the long-term staff in remote communities feel that they're pretty good at giving the injections with less pain than may occur in other circumstances. But there's no doubt that this study did show that pain is one issue for the children, and therefore the uptake of this traditional therapy is at times quite low. So what we do know is that only a minority of children with skin sores get sent into the clinic, and of those, they certainly don't all get the injection of benzathine penicillin. So what this study was to compare cotrimoxazole, which is an oral medication that is palatable to children and has been around for a long time, but has not...
It goes under the trade names like Bactrim and Ceptrin.
That's right, and this has not traditionally been used for impetigo, although it is part of the United States guidelines for use in some of the emerging staphylococcal skin and soft tissue infections. So it seemed a logical thing to compare cotrimoxazole with this injectable penicillin that is the standard therapy at the moment.
And quite short courses. They either had two tablets a day for 3 days or one tablet a day for 5 days.
Yes, and that's also one of the novel aspects of this study, and it's been recognised that with cotrimoxazole you can often have shorter courses. This was recognised originally in Australia and New Zealand with urinary tract infections, where historically people were using longer courses of the penicillin-related compounds, the beta-lactams, but shorter courses, and at times even single dose of cotrimoxazole. And indeed, for oral antibiotics for skin sores, the recommendations in our own Australian guidelines had always been for 10 days being necessary to clear the streptococcal infection of impetigo.
And what you found was what?
What was found was that the use of this 3 day or 5 day course of cotrimoxazole was as good as the single dose of injectable penicillin.
Did the kids take the full course, even the 3 days or the 5 days?
For the purpose of this study, it was supervised therapy, and there were very few children drop out of the study, so that there was large enthusiasm for this program. Of course, translating this to use in guidelines, which has already started to happen, and how it's then taken up both by health staff in prescribing it and also by the families and the caregivers for these children in taking the medication, that is something that we need to continue to look at.
What about the scabies that sits behind this?
The scabies probably at the moment underlies the majority of the skin sores. What we do know is that when we have standalone scabies programs, and a number of these studies of this has happened in the Northern Territory, and you decrease the scabies rate, then the rate of skin sores diminishes substantially. There is still going to be a background rate of skin sores, even in the absence of scabies, because of the overcrowding that occurs in the houses and the cuts that happen in everyday living for the children there, and the difficulties with hygiene in relation to, at times, poor household, what's called health hardware, so lack of showers or functioning showers and bathrooms and sinks. So even when you get rid of scabies, there will be a substantial amount of impetigo still happening, but I think it's that we would feel that the majority of the impetigo at the moment is driven in the Northern Territory by the underlying scabies, which remains at a high rate in many of the communities.
Now, there have been some studies recently trying to get innovative ways of dealing with scabies. What's the latest?
What is being recognised is that you can look at the medical aspects of what therapies you might use, and there are now therapies available that can be used, and even mass drug administration is something that's been studied most recently. But behind all of this is the upstream aspects of the overcrowding and the general levels of disadvantage that exist in the remote communities here in central northern Australia, and indeed throughout many parts of the world where there are high rates of scabies. So I think that that aspect is the crucial thing, because what we've found is that with programs of either supervised topical scabicides or more recently the use of ivermectin as a mass drug administration, that there's been an initial decrease in scabies, but subsequently within 12 months the rate of scabies can return to the baseline rate prior to that intervention. Clearly there need to be other more broad looks at this whole scabies issue.
And is it the same with skin sores? You give them this 3-day course, which hopefully more kids will find palatable than the needle in the bottom. They bounce back with more skin sores after a while?
That's a really important point that was raised in the editorial in The Lancet in response to the paper of this study. And it said that what we now need to do is look at the sustainability of programs in using oral cotrimoxazole, these shorter regimens of oral therapy, and that the recurrence rate of skin sores was not part of this study, but there's something that now needs to be watched very carefully and needs to be incorporated into the programs that are now happening about how we can pull together all of these newer innovative ideas with the medical aspects of therapy, but also tying in with the community-based improvements in housing and health hardware.
So the bottom line is more robust, more appropriate designed housing for Aboriginal communities with toilet and hygiene facilities built in that are going to sustain the sort of cultural issues in terms of large numbers of family wanting to come and stay and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, look, I think that that's absolutely a critical aspect that everyone's mindful of in relation to any work that happens in the future and any big plans, because what happens is that the medical interventions alone give a short-term benefit, but in the long term, there are far bigger issues that need to be addressed, particularly with skin sores or impetigo. The linear relationship between the number of skin sores in an individual in any community and the number of people living with that person in a bedroom has been studied both in Australia and overseas. So there's literally a linear relationship between number of people in a bedroom and the number of skin sores that are present. There is a window of opportunity over the next maybe 5 or 10 years to use some of these newer therapies. The concern is that there is already a very low baseline rate of resistance to cotrimoxazole in both Streptococcus pyogenes, the streptococcal bacteria that's so important, and also in Staphylococcus aureus. And we know from work being done overseas where they've been using a lot more cotrimoxazole, for instance in Cambodia, that the rate of resistance to cotrimoxazole in Staphylococcus at least has been climbing. So we really have to be very mindful also of the concern about emerging resistance to this new therapy, because Group A strep or Streptococcus pyogenes has never to date developed any resistance to penicillin. So the intramuscular penicillin will work in 100% of skin sores, and in future we may have problems if there is resistance emerging to this oral therapy.
So get the prevention act together before resistance emerges is what your message is.
I think it's really critical, and the next 5 years is really an opportunity to bring together some of the newer medical aspects of therapy, including for scabies as well, with a lot of the focus on the community housing and the health hardware.
Bart Currie is Director of Infectious Diseases and Professor of Medicine at Royal Darwin Hospital and the Menzies School of Health Research.